Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, Mom.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and we are back again on another Blog Talk Radio episode broadcast alive and well, coming to you with the good news.
Good news.
That
good
the
morning.
Bad news is wrong. And I'm your host, Dr. J.O. Robinson, and again, we have my wife with me on another
Praise
episode,
God.
Marla J.
Thank
Robinson.
You. Yes, Lord.
And we are so excited today about being with you, and we look forward today to sharing with you good gospel news, and that is our desire that has been always, it's what we live for every day.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
To share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Say good morning to him, sweetheart.
Good morning. Good morning. We love you in Jesus' name, and Jesus is loving you through Word Outreach and particularly through His Report International. Now, I just want to say that I just thank God and praise God for this being the day that the Lord hath made and for us rejoicing and being glad in it. Why do we need to rejoice? Because this day was created from the foundation of the world for us to rise up, to wake up, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise God.
If you're listening to us this morning and you hear that, then this is the day that
yes.
the Lord has made. And we are rejoicing and being glad in it.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I just want to tell you that not only is this the day that the Lord has made, but this is the greatest day of your life.
Amen. Thank you.
Why is it the greatest day of your life? Somebody said, well, you can't say that because you don't know what I've been going through.
All right.
You don't know what I've been dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you don't even know my situation. It's so bad until I didn't want to do anything today. I want to give up. I want to quit. I just want to just leave out of life. And I want to just jump out of life's back door. Friend, I want to tell you today that there is nothing too hard for God.
Nothing
and
too hard for God.
And there is nothing in this world that faith cannot solve.
Hallelujah.
Thank I said there is nothing in this world, in
no
this
thing.
Life, that faith in God cannot solve. Amen. You've been hearing us talking. You probably, those of you who are listening, our guys have been listening to a pastor and a friend of mine down in Memphis, Tennessee, Pastor Tommy Andrew Sullivan, who has been so graciously and kind to come and to be with us on these last few blogs. And we talked about a little bit about every good thing that's in us. And that's why I'm saying that to you this morning. If you've been listening to those blogs, then you understand why I am talking on that level, because we began to share with you how the Lord Jesus Christ has put every good thing inside of us.
Yeah.
And those good things came to help us to be who He has called us to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so we are glad and excited today to share with you from another topic today. In that He's given us every good thing, and He's put every good thing inside of us, those of us who believe in Him and those of us who accept Him. Today we want to talk about Him being faithful and true.
Yes, hallelujah.
Faithful and true.
And true. Hallelujah.
If you didn't get those other blogs, you go back and listen to them. Get those episodes on Every Good Thing. We did part one, two. It was probably three and four, but we just put part three in there. But we did a lot of blogs on Every Good Thing because we recognized that we couldn't tell it all.
All right.
So many good things that the Lord has imparted to us.
Yes.
And every day he's giving us something good, something great, something vibrant, something alive to help us to live this life. Now, friend, I want to say something to you, those of you who said, well, I don't want to do anything. I want to give up. I want to jump out of life's back door. Some of you saying, possibly, I can hear in the spirit that maybe somebody says, I want to commit suicide. Well, let me tell you something.
Thank you.
It's not necessary.
No.
It is not. And the reason why it's not necessary, friend, is because the Lord has imparted to you every good thing. And that means that you don't have to give up your life.
Yes, sir.
You know what? This is why I made the statement. It's easier to die, but it's harder to live.
Yes, Lord.
I'm going to say that one more time. Anybody can just say, I want to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard part is living and making things better.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
That's the hard part.
Thank you, Jesus.
We want to make things better for you today. Marla, my wife and I, we came to serve you today. Marla and I came to serve you and give you a buffet dinner today.
Yeah.
I know some of you probably would like to go on an eight-course meal.
Breakfast,
lunch,
brunch. We got it ready for you.
However you want to deal with it, we came to serve you today. We love you, and our prayers always go out for you, those of you who are listening and those who will listen.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, let's get started. Let's talk about it. Let's just get a word of prayer. And Father, we thank you for your word today.
Yes, Lord.
As we minister to your people that these words will fall on good ground.
Thank you, Jesus.
They were producing us fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Yes, Lord.
And that we are not just hearers only, but doers of your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's get started. You know, our theme scripture we've been talking, and you probably saw it on the blog, is 1 Corinthians Chapter 1.
Yes, Lord.
And then we're going to start with verse 1 because it is very important that you understand how the Apostle Paul is beginning to, how he's beginning to minister to the disciples here.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
In Corinth. Let's do a little bit of background on Corinthians. Corinthians were a wild bunch. They were tongue talkers. They were spiritual.
Yeah.
They were go getters. They were people who were after the word of God, and they were very endowed with spiritual gifts.
Yes. Yes.
And so they were very in tune to the things of the Spirit of God.
Uh huh.
And they've never ever had given Apostle Paul problems until here when they began to deal with. When he begins to deal with them about who they are in Christ.
All right.
And the things that they shouldn't do. And some of the things that they were doing, he says, in one passage, he says, it's just unlawful for you to do certain things. So even the world's people don't do that. But And so I just want to encourage you today that those of you who say, well, I'm super spiritual and things shouldn't be happening in my life, I just want you to know that the Corinthian church was super spiritual as well. But yet they were confronted with a lot of situations that you and I probably and we know we are confronted with in today's time. And the Apostle Paul, this is why we have these letters today.
Yes.
And that's why I'm reading you this letter from him. And we call it Corinthians, and it's a letter to the Corinthians, and we call it 1 Corinthians, but really it was just a long letter that he wrote to them to share with them what they should be and how they should behave themselves and act. And move forward in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Paul called an apostle, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, Sosthenes, unto the church of God is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. This is what Paul says. Grace be unto you and peace. He's always giving us a salute from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything ye are enriched by him, and in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift. I'm telling you, this Corinthian church was gifted, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, verse 9, the key passage of scripture that you and I are going to converse on for these next broadcast episodes. Listen to what he says. He says, God is faithful.
Thank you, Jesus.
By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Mm.
I'm going to say that one more time, because it bears repeating millions of times, but I'm going to say it one more time. And the more you say it, I guarantee you, the better you'll feel about it. He says, God.
Yes, sir.
Our Father, Yahweh.
Jesus.
Some of you, Jehovah. Is faithful. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
He is faithful.
He is faithful.
By whom ye were called.
Thank you, Lord.
Unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
God is faithful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about faithful today.
All right.
Let's find out how faithful he is. As a matter of fact, he woke you up this morning. That was faithfulness. He opened your eyes. That was faithfulness.
Thank you, Jesus.
He gave you ears to hear. That was faithfulness. He gave you eyes to see. That was faithful. He gave you a mouth to talk with.
Yes,
he gave you smelling. He gave you your senses today. And as you listen to this blog, we want to tell you that Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Has called us to be in fellowship with him. And therefore, God has made that possible by his death. And because of his death, now we have fellowship with him.
Yes, sir.
After he was raised from the dead, because God is faithful.
Faithful.
As a matter of fact, Isaiah said that God wanted you to be back with him so much so, till he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes,
as in John chapter 3, verse 16, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Isaiah 55:54-10 says, it pleased God to bruise him.
Yes, it did.
On your behalf and on my behalf.
Thank you, Lord.
It didn't just, it wasn't just a haphazard event.
Thank
it
you,
wasn't
Jesus.
Just a necessary scheme, but it was the plan of the Lord to redeem.
All right.
And thank you, Wine, and say,
yes,
we love that song. It was his plan to redeem you. It was his plan to redeem me. And so it pleased him to kill his only begotten Son, to give him as a supreme sacrifice for your sin and mine. And I'm getting happy, so let me get back over here to the other side of this table as we share on this blog. Let me say something to you today. Friend, the Lord is faithful. And one account says he's full of faith.
Yes, sir.
What is faith? What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance.
Now faith.
Of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes.
Excuse me. And the evidence of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, would you elaborate on what I know?
Well,
I did
a word study. You know, good morning, everyone, again, and praise be to God, for he is faithful and true. And on that word study that I did, it was concerning that very scripture that dealt with what the man of God just said.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9.
And not particularly that one, but the other one concerning the book of Hebrews, but I've done a word study on that as well. I'm going to get to that word study on that. But concerning Hebrews, now faith, and one, is the substance. Well, in doing a word study, the word substance, well, I'll finish it off, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the word substance, the word evidence, and the word things all mean the exact same thing. So in other words, it was the substance of thing, the substance of substance hoped for, the evidence of substance. I mean, it's the exact word. There is no differentiation in the word. Substance, things, but now there is a little elaboration on things because in the Greek, the man of God has been teaching us concerning some different Greek words, but particularly the Greek definition for things is
words.
Words. So, and even still, the bottom line is that the Lord is so faithful in that he, and even in this, before the end of this, we'll see that same similarity. And it's just a repetition or repeat of things, him continually desiring of us, his children, his people, to know him and to understand how much he loves us. Praise God. Just how much he loves us. And that love is, we know, is an everlasting love. It's a love without any particular complications or anything that we have to do. It's just unconditional. That's just all it is, unconditional. Now, I will tell you this now, that Webster says that faithful is an adjective and it's also a noun. Now, the noun part I'll deal with, even though I said it last, is the church members. It's us. It's the followers of Jesus Christ. And for other people, you know, those that may not be fully into the Lord, the unsaved, it also means fan. Now, everybody know, my husband got it. Last Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday. Now, mind you, the man of God and I, I'm sure you may hear it some in his voice and a little bit in mine. You know, we this weather, we're in Texas, and one day it may be 70, one day it may be 40, the next day it'll be 60. I mean, we have an up-and-down weather situation going on in the months of January and February. So we have to continue to replenish ourselves and keep ourselves nourished so that our voices will be clear. Now, I'll tell you this as well. That fan, that word noun for faithful, there are a lot of faithful people to sports nowadays. And that's, you know, good within itself, but there is no more faithful person, no bigger sport fanatic than the Lord Jesus is for his people and for those who he created, because he created each and every one of us. And I just thank God for that. So that's the noun side. Now, the adjective side, which, of course, describes a noun of the word faithful, there are a lot of definitions, and I'm going to give you the ones that the Lord led me to. The first one, just, it means deserving complete trust. Number two, loyal. Now, what is loyal? Loyal means a firm resistance to desert or abandon. And we know that the Lord will never leave us. The Word of God teaches us nor forsake us. Number three, steadfast. We hear steadfast, we think about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain unto the Lord. But in this one, steadfast implies deep affection or an unwavering course. Or like a, you know, we in school, this is somewhat like we do, you know, like I'm an educator, so I like to teach, but a course is a study, unwavering study in what? In love and allegiance. Now, of course, because, you know, I'm in a school system, we all know the pledge of allegiance, okay? And when you pledge, when you give yourself to something wholeheartedly, just like in a marriage, the man, the husband and wife pledge themselves to be one, to be together as a union, which basically they're one. But that pledge, that spoken, authoritative, given understanding that this is what I believe in, and this is what I'm going to continue to support and to do everything I can to stand for, including, if necessary, fight.
You know, that's those definitions, loyal, and the last definition you used,
steadfast.
To be steadfast. Listen, in the first chapter of that particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Lord uses a word consistently there, and that word is confirm.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been taught through seminary and through various courses that when you see a word more than one time in a passage of Scripture, it is actually there to give you a secret concerning the passage. As a matter of fact, and when I say secret, it begins to unveil, to reveal to us the intimacy of the particular passage is really conveying.
Yes, sir.
Several times in the passage, starting even at verse, we'll go back to verse 5 through 6, and we see this word. He says, that in everything ye were enriched by him, talking about the Lord, in all utterance, in all knowledge. Now, this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. And then he goes on to say, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, he says confirmed there. He says you were enriched by Christ. So at first he goes and watch how he gives them this particular scenario. He says, grace be to you. He's giving them a salutation. He's giving them a salute. He's telling them that he's blessing them. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now, God has given you grace. If you're hearing our voice today and you feel like that everything that you've ever lived for is gone and your dreams have been shattered and all the things that you've longed for have been just somewhere put on hold, we came to tell you that you have grace today.
Yes.
He says, grace be unto you and peace. Not only do you have grace, but you have peace.
Yes, sir.
We're going to give you, impart to you peace today. What is that? Nothing lacking.
Nothing
broken.
Nothing.
All things whole and all things prosperous. And then he goes on to say to them, he says, now that you have grace and now that you have peace from God our Father, who is faithful,
and
from the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank my God always on your behalf. He says, now you have a friend, who's somebody who's praying for you.
Thank you.
You have somebody who's reaching out on to the Lord on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. God says, I'm going to give it to you. Whether you want it or not, I'm going to give you grace.
All right.
That in everything ye are enriched by him. He says, not just in some things. I want to tell you today, friend, in everything that you are dealing with in life, God has given you an enrichment. He's enriched you. What does he enrich you with? And in all knowledge.
Yes.
Watch what he says. And what is the all knowledge? What is he talking about? He's giving you a mind to know. It is instinctively in every man and every woman in their consciousness.
Yes.
That Jesus is Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
That God is real. That he's alive. He's aware. In the planet Earth. I don't care what. You can go to any remote area in the United States of America, around the world, and you'll find that somebody in consciousness somewhere is celebrating the Creator.
Hallelujah.
In some type of fashion, they're celebrating the Creator because they recognize that this vast earth that we live in, it has to be created by somebody greater than us.
Somebody.
And so he goes on to say that they've been enriched.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
By him in all utterance and in all, in other words, your mouth has been given rich things. And in all knowledge, he says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you.
Yes, Lord.
It was validated.
Thank you, Jesus.
it was given an okay.
Huh? All right.
That you have been converted to Christ.
Thank you.
He said it was here's a confirmation for you and me. When we publicly say that we have confessed the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, one of the ceremonies that we carry out is called baptism.
Yes.
It's just kind of like a marriage. When a man proposes to a woman and he says, would you be my wife? And she says, yes, of course.
Yes, sir.
And then all of a sudden they said, you know what? We're going to have a marriage ceremony to confirm that I have proposed to you.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get married.
Oh, yeah.
And so with that, the Apostle Paul here says that Jesus Christ has confirmed in you those things that God did.
Mm, thank you, Jesus.
And he goes on to say, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye, in verse 7, come behind in no gifts. In other words, he said, this thing was confirmed in you, so you're lacking nothing now.
Mm.
So those of you who are believers today,
I'm
excited here, right here, on this.
Mm.
Those of you who are believers today, whether you know it or not, when you became born again, those things that you thought were not in you are in you now.
They're in you.
It's just like ragu.
They're in us. Ragu.
You know the ragu spaghetti commercial?
Back in the
it's
day.
In there. And that's an old school commercial. Some of them, they might not even be showing that commercial anymore.
Oh,
but they used to say that the cliche of the commercial is that it's in there.
It's
everything
in there
that you need for the spaghetti sauce, it's in there.
Yes.
And so God says, everything that you need to live this life.
Hallelujah.
As you became a believer, it's in there.
Thank you, Jesus.
So he's confirming that to you today.
Yes.
So that that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what he says. Who shall also confirm you unto the end. Is that word confirm again.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's not only going to confirm that those things are in you.
Yes.
But he's going to confirm those things in you until the end. Now, you heard us talk about on the last blog, Pastor Sullivan and I, several blogs ago, when we began to talk about every good thing that's in us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the passages of scriptures that God allowed us to use continuously was Philippians 1:6. He says, being confident of this very thing,
yes, sir.
He that has begun a good work in you.
Oh, yes.
Will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And here in verse 8, he says, who shall also confirm you unto the end. In other words, he's faithful. He's going to confirm you to the end that he confirmed what he put in you.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but Philippians says that he's going to perform it. Until the day of Jesus. Listen to this, friend. You don't have to try to work it out. God is working it out through you.
Yes.
Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do. Watch one more time.
Hallelujah.
Of his good pleasure. Philippians 1:6, for he is God, which being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it. And it is his good pleasure in the second chapter in the 13th verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will or confirm and to do, confirm it again of his good pleasure. Did you not know it's his pleasure to work in you? It's his pleasure to work in me because he is faithful.
Oh, yes, Lord. Now, and I got to tell you, one, in doing the studies concerning the word faithful, particularly the Jews, this was a favorite expression. Among them. This was a favorite expression because it spoke to everyone concerning the integrity of God.
Yes, it did.
That God, his integrity was at stake.
Okay.
And not so much at stake as much as it was just bottom line. back in Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations.
Watch your teeth. Are you telling me that he is faithful?
Oh.
Wait a minute. Let's say that. Let's read that passage of scripture one more time.
Okay. Deuteronomy 6 and...
Yes. My wife was getting excited. She was moving her hands and she was waving her hands.
7 and 9.
And she's drinking some tea and she says, faithful. And she threw her hand back. I said, okay.
The tea almost went a flying.
Yeah,
that's
right. So, go ahead.
Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations.
Listen, now the Bible said he's faithful to keep his covenant.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what is
yes,
a covenant?
Sir.
A covenant is an agreement that was given, basically, and it has no flaw in it.
No flaw.
And the covenant also is a confirmed.
Yes.
Watch what I'm saying. A confirmed edict or a confirmed law that cannot be refuted.
Yes, sir. It's enforced strict obedience to promises and or vows.
Watch what I just said. It is. Say that one more time. That's the common vernacular of the days. But go ahead and say it again.
It is enforced strict obedience to promises and or vows.
Now listen what God just said. He says, I'm going to keep my covenant. I'm going to enforce because I'm obedient to my covenant. He said, I'm obedient to what I say. It's a full, say it again, it is a...
It's enforced.
First of all, God says, I'm going to enforce.
And then it's strict.
He said, I'm going to make sure that nothing is in it that's a flaw. It's not only that, but it's so strict until I've got my blood guarding it.
Yes.
That's how a covenant is established. He says, you know what, I'm going to put my blood on this.
Yes.
That this covenant is for what it is intended to do. And it will can perform what I have promised that it will do. So I'm going to stamp it with my blood.
Obedience.
That's what a covenant is. Whenever, as a matter of fact, if you go back and look at any tradition or anything that has ever been done for a covenant's sake, there was always blood that was shed.
Same thing as a testament. It's the exact equal word of covenant and testament. But we know because of the death of the testator, Jesus Christ, then his blood, which is what the man of God is saying concerning the covenant, had to be shed in order that the testimony or that the testament would be true, would be so.
That's the stamping of the blood. First of all, he says, I'm going to enforce. You know what? Let me give you an example of what enforcement is.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a law that's been set in the land and all of a sudden you begin to violate that law, they have people that will come and help enforce that law for you, and they will call the police.
Yeah,
and so God says, I'm policing my word. He says,
yes.
I am going to enforce.
Yes.
Listen, friend, I feel like shouting right here, but I'm not going to shout. I think I'll just run right down this avenue, right down the street here, and just come back for a lap or two, because he says, the authorities that you and I know as the law enforcement of the policemen, the FBI, CIA, or whoever they may be, may not enforce always properly.
Yes.
But we do know one thing about God, because who he is, as Marla shared about his integrity, he will enforce it.
Yes, he will.
Strictly.
Strict.
For his promise.
Yes.
Sake.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm getting happy here, so I better calm down. He said, I will enforce.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Strict obedience.
He said, I'm going to be obedient to my enforcement.
Yeah.
I'm not only going to just give you an enforcement strictly, but I'm going to obey my own promise,
yes,
and I'm going to do what I said.
Yes.
And I'm going to do what Isaiah said like this. He said, God is not a man that he should lie.
Not a man.
Nor the son of man that he should repent.
Mm.
If he said a thing, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he said, will he not make it good? And another translation said, will he not bring it to pass?
Mm.
One of our favorite scriptures in that, and the Apostle Paul picked it up like this and said that, for God is not a man that he should lie. I think that passage Paul says that he cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
And he cannot lie. and I'll pick it up. I'll pick it up more into the broadcast because it's not coming to a full into my mind. But we are telling you today that God is an enforcer of His promise.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Oh yes. Now and then the another definition, which is I'm gonna make this one the last one because, like I said, there were many, is the word exact or true. Wait a minute. So in other words, faithful also means true, but we're talking about being faithful and true, so that means we're talking about being true and true.
So we're talking about being true to your faith.
True and true.
True and
faithful,
true.
And even as I go on, as we go on within the broadcast, if not today, next week, I'll also give you the definition, which I have it, for the word true, but... In the definition for true is the word faithful.
So we're going to break it down just a little bit more. Well, let's talk about true, true. That's faithful and
that
true.
God is faithful. He is true and true.
He is faithful.
Faithful. Faithful.
You know, we use the, on one podcast, we use the acronym for that.
Mm-hmm.
Marla used the acronym in the Nouns take for all I trust him.
Yes, for faith.
And I use the verbiage for all I take him.
Yes, yes.
And so, therefore, not only do we have a noun personality of integrity about it, but he also gives you a verb to say that he's going to enforce
yes,
what
sir.
He said.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
Faith is action. It is an action verb. It
yes,
takes
sir.
Upon action to make it happen. You can't just
well,
have faith.
It's a noun and it's a verb.
Well, isn't that amazing? It's a seemingly paradox.
Yeah,
it's a contradiction that it can be a noun and a verb at the same time.
Thank you,
isn't
Webster.
Yeah.
And everyone else that these great men who God impressed upon them and put in them the supernatural ability.
Wait a minute.
To,
you say he put it in them?
Yes, he put it in them to dissect and to carve out and to just make the very minute sight of a word for us to understand and us to fully be able to cohesively say, think, say, and do.
So he gave them insight.
Insight.
Now, in this particular passage of scripture that we're dealing with, we're talking about today, the Bible explicitly says, so vividly explained.
Mm-hmm.
He said it like this. He says, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And then he goes on to say, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye will come behind in no gift. So God said to Webster, said, look, I'm going to give you some definitions here about what these words really mean and give you some words so that you can explain to the people about how to break down the definition and understanding and the meaning of it so that they can understand my covenant, so they can understand my promises.
Yes.
Amen. So
Amen.
He says, I'm not going to let you go behind in anything. I'm not going to leave you behind in any gift.
Any gift. No.
And that means intellect.
Yes.
So don't say that. Don't ever say again that you're dumb.
All
don't
right.
ever say again
right.
that you're not
right.
that you're not able to comprehend.
Hallelujah.
Don't ever say those things again because God has imparted to you.
Yes.
Because you are one of the greatest intelligence, you are the greatest intelligence in terms of this earth.
Yes.
Outside of the fact that you've been born again, which is a greater intelligence by the Spirit that comes
yes.
inside of you.
Oh, yes.
But you are a supernatural intelligence that God is confirming in the earth that no gift is left behind because you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
One of my favorite cliches, and somebody, when somebody asked me, they said, how you doing? I said, I'm super fantastic.
Yes,
now, why
did
I talk about this earlier today about fantastic? She says that Jesus was a fanatic for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody says,
all right,
I always say that. I always say to people, I've been waiting for them to ask me, why do you say you're super fantastic? Well, first of all, I believe in the supernatural. And second of all, I'm a fanatic for Jesus.
Yes.
So that's why I say I'm super fantastic. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say that one more time. I said the reason why I say that I'm super fantastic is because I've been supernaturally changed, and I believe in the supernatural, and I'm also a fanatic
yes.
a very, very loyal fan to Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because he's faithful. Why shouldn't I be faithful?
Yes.
He's faithful to me, so why shouldn't I be faithful to him? Now, listen, some of you are saying, oh, it doesn't take all of that. Well, then why don't you tell me about your favorite football team or your baseball team? If somebody calls the name
of
some certain
basketball,
basketball or whatever. But if somebody calls the name of a football team, we just finished
the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm. and somebody was rooting for their team. I don't know who your team may have been. But you can't tell me you're not a fanatic because some people go out there naked. Some
all
people
right.
go out there with with all type of paint on their face.
Yes.
Some people go out there with great signs and huge this and that with paraphernalia on it, saying that they are this particular group's fan.
Mm.
Well, I want to tell you today.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That not one of those sports guys have ever reached out to those fans, basically, as far as I know, and giving them any incentives to be a fan. The only thing they're cheering about is their talent.
Yeah.
And they love them because of the abilities that they have.
Hallelujah.
But can I tell you something today? I'm rooting for Jesus Christ because
Glory,
he gave his
hallelujah.
Very life.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless you.
He gave his very life for me. He didn't just...
Yeah.
If he was on television, he would have reached out that nail scarred hand throughout
Woo!
The airwaves.
Glory, glory, and he does it through
TVN
and Daystar.
Yeah, but he does. Okay.
The word, yeah.
There goes a plug with TVN, and there goes one for Daystar.
Bless
Amen.
You all.
And we are fans of them, and God bless Marcus and Jonah and Paul and Jan, who now Paul is deceased. But thank God for them bringing Christ and television into the being, into the airwaves, and the hard work. And I just want to say to them today, we commend you.
Yes.
Joni, Marcus, we commend you.
We commend you.
We commend you, Paul and Jan.
Thank you,
for
Jesus.
What you did for the body of Christ.
Yes.
So that we can be on the airways.
Yes.
Like we're on the airways today.
Yes.
Speaking
yes.
to you.
Yes.
About the good news that God
Pioneer.
Is
yes,
faithful.
Lord. Faithful.
And true.
Mm-hmm.
I said he's faithful and true.
And true. Hallelujah.
So listen, he says, I will confirm it. Marla says that he will enforce his confirmation.
Yes.
He's an enforcer of his covenant.
Thank you, Jesus.
I said he is an enforcer of his
Thank you, Jesus.
Covenant.
Yes.
And I don't care what you've gone, what you're going through today, because I hear that. So you're saying, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. Somebody says, I just lost a loved one.
Hallelujah.
Somebody says that I just lost my job.
Bless your Lord.
Somebody says that I don't have anything to really live for now.
Mm.
My family is destroyed because of something that I've done that was not good. My family has been broken and torn apart. And I hear all of these things.
Mm.
You're not telling me the good things. You're telling me the bad things.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one more time that the good news is the bad news is wrong? Even
yes.
though the bad news may be bearing a truth,
yes.
it is not the truth.
Yes.
The truth is that God wants to work it out for you.
Yes.
He wants to enforce his promise and said, if he said it, he'll do it. What is his promise? His promise is that he will make you more than a conqueror. His promise is that you are his workmanship, completing
yes.
in Christ Jesus under good works, which he
has before ordained
that you should
walk
in them. Friend, he wants you to walk in good things. What is his good things? First John, I'm just going to say this today. First John, 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray above all things that thou would prosper and be in health even as thy soul prosper. God wants you whole in every area of your life. First
every
he says,
area.
I pray above all things that you would prosper, have peace.
Yeah, hallelujah.
He wants you to have peace in your situation. Somebody says, I'm in the middle of a storm. Can I tell you something? You can have peace in the middle of a storm. How can you have peace in the middle of the storm? He says, because it is his desire that you would prosper.
Thank
and that
you.
Word, literally, the translation of that word in the Greek from this particular standpoint is have peace or shalom.
Mm-hmm.
As I shared with you earlier, nothing lacking, nothing broken,
nothing,
all things whole, all things he desires for you prosper. That's the first area he wants you to do is have peace right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says that you would have that you would prosper and be in health. He doesn't desire for you to be sick today. You said, well, I may have a chronic disease. I don't know what's going on inside of my body. They've given me a diagnosis, and the diagnosis saying that I'm not going to make it. But that's the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the prognosis. The prognosis is that you are disease-free.
Yes.
The prognosis comes from the Word of God. He said, I will take all these diseases from you.
Yes.
He said, I'll by his stripes, I am. Here comes his covenant, and here he comes his enforcement. He says, with his stripes, I'm healed. And Peter says, by his stripes, we are healed.
Yes.
So he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be healed. But more in particular, he wants you to be whole.
Yes.
What is the wholeness of it? That you but prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In other words, what you think, what you say, and what you do. He says, I want your thinking to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
I want your speaking to prosper.
Say that.
And I want your doing to prosper.
Yes,
everything that you touch, everything that you put your hands on. He said, I want you to prosper in every life. And he says, why? Because I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to be faithful to my promise.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning you. Why? Okay, now, Brother Preacher, you said that, but can you give me something to validate that? Well,
yes.
I will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted? And as my wife talked about that yesterday, we talked about that a little bit. Who has not, he said, he's not, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with all the temptation, with the temptation,
yes,
also make a way to escape that ye may
escape.
Be able to bear it.
To bear it. Yes, Lord.
Now, sometimes we want to be, we want to get out of a situation because we're just tired of it. Now, he's not going to allow you to just run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes in temptation, it's there to help you to be who you're supposed to be in terms of integrity.
Yes.
I'm glad he didn't run away from his death today.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Because if he had ran away from his death, you and I wouldn't be talking today.
No.
You wouldn't be. I wouldn't be I wouldn't be communicating, and you wouldn't be reciprocating. But because he was faithful unto death.
Yes, unto death.
He was. The Bible says he was faithful unto the cross. He died on the. Does it seem like I'm preaching again?
Hallelujah.
Anyway, here he is. He was faithful to death.
Mm.
And the Bible says he rose again on that third day. And now he's at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews chapter 12, verse, and the third verse says, ever making intercessions.
Yes, ever.
For you and me, because he is faithful.
Thank you, Jesus.
And true. The Bible says he's faithful to get us out of the tempted, of the test, of the trial.
Yes.
He will give us a way to escape it, not to run away from it, but he'll give us a avenue in which we can move out of the way in the midst of that thing and bear it.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then 1 John, that brings back my attention, 1 John 1 and 9, and says, if we confess our sins, because, see, there's something we got to do that goes back to the word confess. He is faithful and just. Now, another definition for truth is the word just. So here we go again. He, meaning God, is faithful and true, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to clean us up from all unrighteousness.
He will enforce his forgiveness.
Yes,
he says,
Lord,
he's faithful to forgive us.
Mm.
Wow, he's full of faith. He's faithful to forgive us. He said, if we confess our sins. Here it is again, that word homologio means, in the word confess, homologio, which means to homogenize, is to say the same thing. God says, look, if you would just say to me that you're sorry.
Mm.
He said, I'm full of grace. He told the Corinthians church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I'm full of grace. He said grace more than one time in that first chapter.
Yes, he did.
He said grace several times in that first chapter. He says for him, he says, grace be unto you, Paul. He says that there. And then he moves on to say, in the third verse, in the fourth verse, he says, for the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
He says it again. So here we go with another word that's being mentioned more than one time. He says, for the grace of God. And he goes on to say, grace be unto you. Now, listen. Grace is unmerited favor.
Yes, sir.
It is favor that you and I did not earn.
Did not.
We couldn't work for it.
Mm-mm.
We couldn't do anything to get it.
Oh, no.
But it was given to us because God says, I'm an enforcer of my covenant.
Yes, sir.
And in my covenant is full of grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says, I'm full of grace. I'm full of mercy. So he says, now Paul says, grace be unto you. And then he said, I thank my God on in verse 4 of that. My God always in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, he says in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're hearing our voice today, I want to tell you that you have grace. You have time.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What it really is. Grace is time. And in every act of God, he always gave men time to get it right.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, well, Lord, I fail you so many times. He says, I tell you what, I'm going to give you some more grace.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to give you some more. I feel like shouting right now,
Hallelujah.
Friend. I don't know about you.
Unmerited favor.
Hallelujah. I've been given time to
get it
right.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, and that's why we're on this podcast today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God, because we've been given grace.
Yes.
To get it right.
To get it right.
And one songwriter said, all I need is just a little more grace.
Yes.
Grace to help me to run this race.
Ha-ha.
Grace.
Yes, Lord. And then grace in order to help others to come to the knowledge of the faith to understand what grace is and can do for them as well. We've been given grace to give grace back out to others so that they can see and understand the grace of God.
He is faithful.
Yes.
And he is true, so much so that even when we are going through trial, we're
yes.
going through times of testing, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13 tells us, he is faithful even with us in our time of trials.
Oh, yes.
He is faithful with us even in our times of testing. He is so faithful.
He is faithful.
He is right there with us, going through that thing with us. He's not leaving us. You know what? He's not going to leave you alone in it.
Oh,
somebody
no.
says, I'm just in this all by myself, and I don't know what I'm going to do because this just seems like nobody loves me, and nobody seems to care.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Friend, I'm going to tell you that he's faithful. He's right there in that trial.
Right
he's
there.
Right there in that situation with you.
Right there.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Thank you, Jesus.
In verse 24, you'll find out something about the Lord that is very, very significant.
Thank you, Jesus.
And here it says this. In verse 24, it says, faithful is he that calleth you,
all right.
He also will do it.
Will do it.
Listen, if he said he's going to be with you in that trial, if he said he's going to be with you in that testing, he's going to be right there.
Right there.
Now listen, I want to tell you this. If he's with you in the trials, which would seemingly be to you and me the bad times, surely, surely he's with us.
Yes.
In the what we call good times.
Thank you, Jesus.
So the Bible goes on to say in the 24th verse of the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, faithful is he that calleth you.
Yes.
Who also will do it. What would he do? Verse 23 says it like this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I don't care what you're going through today. At the end of the day, when you are being called home, he's going to present you faultless.
Faultless.
He's going to present you Lord have mercy. Blameless.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's going to keep his covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And his covenant says that you're saved. His covenant. Oh, here we go. Somebody says, well, you're talking about that you cannot be lost. And you're talking about that we have this thing called permanent salvation. Well, yeah, in a sense, yes, we do. What do you mean by that, preacher? What I'm telling you is is that if you are obedient to his word, he's faithful and true to perform it.
Faithful and true. Faithful and true.
There is a condition.
Faithful and faithful.
There is a condition. Now, I'm not. Now, listen. Watch what I just said. I didn't say you were going to perform it.
All right.
I said he is performing it. But you've got to get in a position so he can perform through you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You've got to position yourself so that he can perform. Listen, there was an old song back in the day. And I like to say back in the day because that's what young people call it, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a group that sang a song saying, my pretending days are over. I'm going to leave all the acting to the actors
mm-hmm.
in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a love song, really. This guy was telling his girlfriend, I'm not going to pretend anymore. I'm not going to act like I don't love you. I'm going to show myself to you as I love you. He said, so my pretending days are over. I'm going to leave all the acting to the actors in Hollywood. But friend, he was talking to his girlfriend. Let's talk to the Lord and say, look, Lord, I'm not pretending anymore.
Yes.
Right. My pretending days are over. I'm going to leave all the acting to the people that are in the world. He said, I want you to perform through me.
Thank you, Jesus.
So hallelujah. The Bible says, he is faithful that calleth you and who also will do it through you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
What will he do? He'll live and listen. My wife and I had a cliche from my old fellowship back in the 80s. He is loving you through us now. So that means that we are not performing within ourselves. It is the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's the Lord.
In Marla. And in Jerry,
mm-hmm.
loving you.
Oh yeah.
Now.
Right now.
Well, we didn't have to use a double adjective.
I'm gonna use it right now.
I like it right now.
Right now.
Right now, she says. But actually, that we know that the verbiage is he's loving you through us now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what now faith is.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Because he is faithful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Did you have a scripture you were looking at there?
Well, no, it wasn't, no, sir, not so much a scripture as much as I was just thinking about even going back to the word communion fellowship in the ninth verse. God is faithful by whom you are called. We're back, 1 Corinthians 1:9, unto the fellowship of his son. The word fellowship in the Greek means koinonia.
Mm-hmm.
It means communion.
Okay.
So by whom you were called into the communion of his son, Jesus Christ. And not just his communion. I was also looking at the Amplified Bible that states that God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. And he can be depended on. By him you were called into, he went on to say, companionship. And participation with his son, Jesus Christ. So it's just so much more than what it looks like or appears to be. Because of him being faithful and true, it is so much more. He desires for us, his love in us, to be so pure and to be so right. For us to depend on him. For us to know that it is him that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
We've got 1 minute left. Next week, we're going to pick back up on this. But the scripture we're going to start with next week is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. As we leave today, we want you to know that God is keeping you from evil until we see each other again, until we listen to each other again. Until then, God bless you today. We want you to know that nothing is impossible to the Lord because all things are possible to them that believe. And the good news is that the bad news